This is Missioning, Baptist Mission Australia's podcast and a space to explore mission, faith, life call, and everything in between. Welcome.
We acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations as the traditional owners of this land on which we record this podcast today. We pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging.
Welcome to Missioning. My name is Susan and I'm part of the leadership team at Baptist Mission Australia. And I am the host of our podcast series on mending, joining with God in mending a beautiful and broken world. We have four episodes for our four key themes. Last week we talked about renewing and today we're talking about relating. It's all about relationships. We have two guests for our conversation today, Simon and Dave. Great to be here with you and welcome.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Thanks.
Simon, we'll start with you. Who are you and how do you fit into the Baptist Mission Australia community?
I'm Simon. I was originally from Southeast Asia. I was born and raised here. I didn't have connection with the Baptist community in the beginning, but I met Dave and his team in Southeast Asia in 2018. So my involvement with the Baptist Mission community started then. Came to work with the ministry in 2018 here in Southeast Asia.
Fantastic. And Dave, can you tell us a bit about your journey with us?
Sure. My wife Kaz and I have been with Baptist Mission Australia for around 25 years now. And all of that time living and serving in Southeast Asia. We have two boys that both grew up in this part of the world and have now left home and they're living back in another country studying and working. And I have the role as team leader for the team in Southeast Asia.
Fantastic. And Simon, your journey is a bit unique in that you grew up in Southeast Asia then, but then spent time in Australia.
Yeah. So I went to Australia in 2009 to study. I met actually my wife in Australia, in Adelaide. We were studying there and then we got married in 2014. But yeah, we sort of like lived in Australia for about 10, 11 years before we returned to Southeast Asia. So yeah, Australia is always considered a second home for us, especially for me and especially Adelaide.
Well, great to have you here today for our conversation. Our theme for today is relating. It's all about relationships. Dave, when you hear that, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I think that's the focus of what we are trying to do with in our work here in Southeast Asia is to develop deep relationships with people. One of our team's core values is that we would be growing redemptive participants in this world. So recognizing that we want to participate with local people in their lives, we want to adjust ourselves and move into this new world that's very different from our home world. We want to be constantly growing in the way we participate with people here, and we want to participate with them in ways that are redemptive. In other words, in ways that bring blessing to them, that model the values of God's kingdom, and that will help to bring mending in a holistic way in their lives.
Very kind of aspirational, big picture goals there. I'm looking forward to hearing more about what that looks like on the ground as we continue our conversation. What about you, Simon? Why are relationships so core to God's kingdom plan?
I think it's because it's a key ingredient of the kingdom in itself, because relationships are important. It's important for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But because of the fall, relationships that we should have should be fruitful, but then it became contentious. And I think it is still important, and it is very important, but it's just in a broken state at the moment.
You talked a bit there about how relationships are broken and can be difficult. Can you give us some examples of how you see that in the relationships around you?
Yeah, I think in this context, especially relationships between Christians, it is divided by denominations. For example, people from another denomination, they think that they're better than people from another denomination. It makes things harder over here because we Christians are minority.
Yeah.
And then taking it in the bigger picture, relationship between minority and the majority people. So I think the fall made us create walls rather than bridges in relationships. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that among Christians and then between Christians and, for example, the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard. And I think even husband and wife, parents and children, I think they should have had that fruitful relationships ongoing in the family, of course. But yeah, for some reason, it has become contentious. And I think everyone understands when I say that. It's natural. It seems like what's natural now is not what it's supposed to be.
Sure.
Yeah, it's change. But I haven't got the answer. But I feel that isn't right.
Yeah. No, thank you. Dave, you've been living in Southeast Asia for almost 25 years now. What have you learnt about building relationships in that context over this time?
Learned a number of things, I guess. Probably first is that my attitude is really crucial in that. I need to have an attitude of love for people. If I don't have that sense of love for people, then you start to come across in a fake way, I think, or people pick up on that. But if you do genuinely care and love people, that's so key. That's how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit reached out to restore a relationship with us. Jesus came into our world because he was compelled by love. And we learn from the scriptures that we love because he first loved us. So, yeah, loving. Having a heart of humility is so important to build relationships, where I'm willing to forego my status and my background and to cross those bridges. And that means being willing to humble myself in many ways. Coming here, being willing to humble myself in terms of learning the local language and culture, and taking the initiative to adjust to people here rather than expecting them to communicate with me in my heart language, which is English. Yeah, people here will often ask, so why do you want to learn our language, and why do you want to learn about our culture? And that speaks deeply to people. If I'm willing to humble myself and look stupid and make lots of mistakes in the way I communicate and things I say, my wife, Kaz, talks a lot about, it's kind of like you're breaking through this wall of noise and banging your head up against it. And you feel just stupid a lot of times. But as you persevere with that, people here notice that you are trying to do that. You're trying to grow in this world. And that you have a humility in that. And that really helps in starting to build relationships with people.
Simon, David mentioned that a key element of building relationships is having an attitude of love every day. How have you grown that love for the people around you and yourself? What does that look like day to day?
Yeah, before I joined the ministry in 2018, I sort of like already got a way to love people, which I thought it was complete. That's the complete picture of loving people. But then when I met Dave and Cass, I met the team, I realized that how I love others is actually not as complete as it should be. I became much better, still in the learning process, in loving others when I witness how they love others. And it's actually because growing up as minorities, I was born and raised in a Christian people group. Growing up as minorities, like I said, we are building walls. That's the safest way to do it. So we love others inside the comfort of our walls.
Right.
So it's hard for us to love others in the way that they've mentioned, because it requires us to step out from our own fortress. Now, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that I needed to do that at that time. So as I grew in this understanding, I learned to love others in a way that Jesus loves others. I needed to get out from my comfort zone, from my walls, to step out to the community, to people that I thought didn't deserve love before, and then started to find a way to love them.
Wow.
Because to love is not easy, right? Like love is a verb, so I have to find an action that makes sense for them, so then they would know that I love them. And it's not easy, but for some reasons Dave and Cass, they were able to do that. They're not locals, but they were able to do that. I think it's because they're not bounded by the social boundaries that is naturally bounded us. They were able to express that in a way that makes sense. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to meet them, because it made me a better local as I witnessed them being locals. So yeah, like David said, it's authentic, it's natural. It's something that you cannot push or force yourself to do it. It has to be natural, so then people can feel it. And being natural in loving people from other religion or people group here in the country is not natural for us as locals. So yeah, it's a steep learning curve, but I feel like we are getting there.
I think that's a beautiful picture of the mutuality, isn't it? That what as Dave and Kaz are learning about how to be appropriate in the other culture, you as cultural insiders can teach them so much. Yet at the same time, as cultural outsiders without those historical walls and boundaries, they can perhaps more easily love others, and that's something that you can learn from them. So that's just a beautiful mutuality that I just think is a real gift to both of you. Thank you for sharing that. Dave, I've always loved your attitude of humility. Can you share a time where that learning was very real for you?
Yes, I can think of many times where I got things wrong and made assumptions, you know, coming out of a very individualistic kind of community where people demand their rights, and coming into this world that's highly communal, where you should be showing patience towards others and respect towards others. You know, I remember lots of times on the road, for instance, just getting angry with people because they weren't following the rules that I thought they should follow. And I remember one particular time where, you know, we were just in this real traffic jam and everyone's backed up. And there's this guy coming along in a vehicle almost half up on the footpath and honking at everyone. And I thought, what on earth is this guy doing? He's trying to push in and take advantage, and that's so wrong. And I was getting really angry and honking at him. But as he pulled past me, it was like a flatbed truck at the back. And I saw in the back of that there was a man.
Hmm.
Yeah. I saw there was a man lying there who was desperately sick.
Hmm.
And his friend was trying to get him to a hospital, and he didn't have an ambulance available. And I was just, yeah, realized, wow, I've got so much to learn in this world, and recognizing the challenges that people here face, and that I shouldn't rush to judgment so quickly. And, you know, I remember many times looking at people around me and thinking that they were just lazy. And I had a colleague who'd been here longer tell me one day, you know, these people, they don't have the kind of nutritious diet that you do.
Mm.
They don't have access to multivitamins like you do. They don't sleep on a comfortable bed like you do. They probably sleep on a thin rattan mat on the floor in crowded conditions. They don't have hot showers that they can enjoy at the end of the day.
Mm.
And if they get sick, they're likely to take a long time to get over it. So don't rush to judgment.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Our passage for this week in our series comes from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and it's where Jesus calls some of his friends. As Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. This is an interesting passage to relate to our theme of relationships. Simon, what stands out for you in this passage?
I hope you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, because I'm trying to see this from the context, and I might get the context wrong in this. Because Jesus at the time was a up and coming rabbi. Like he's in a social status, because we're talking from the communal society, he's in a social status that is higher than many people,
mm-hmm.
respected. But then he came and then called the fisherman, who was actually very low in the social status.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's interesting. Is that the normal way for the rabbi to find disciples or not? I don't think it is the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's really interesting. And from point of view of the four men that were called at the time, I was imagining about this. For example, Dave is an up-and-coming politician, you know, here in the country, in Southeast Asia, politician who people thought that, okay, he's going to be the next president of this country. And I work in a restaurant, Simon. Simon worked in a very little restaurant. And then all of a sudden he came in and then he asked me, "Simon, stop serving food, follow me, and now you serve people."
Mm.
Now, for me, coming from communal society, I would say yes, of course, because I knew Dave has been popular for some time, and you know, because Dave is popular and is going to be the next president, I would think that, yeah, following him is actually not bad. So leaving the restaurant for me is not a sacrificial act. Leaving the restaurant for me was a way to get a better life, because more status, because I'm following Dave. Mm. And I think if you come from individual society context, you would then ask, how much salary will I get? You know, you will talk about the contract and everything, mm-hmm. but in communal society, you don't talk about that. And someone like Dave asks you to follow him, because just following him in itself, it's who you know, not what you know over here. Mm-hmm. So I think it's already respectful, and I'll sacrifice my life as long as Dave becomes a good patron, and then I'll become a good client. So I think that's the relationships that happen when I read that. So that for the four men, there was an opportunity for them to have a better life. Mm. But boy, did they know what the better life was, because I think they had the thought of a worldly better life. Many people, I think, would come to us, me and Dave, to become our disciples here in the country because of that motivation. Sometimes they look into us because they wanted to be better. Mm. Economically, or because of social status. Oh, okay. I have Dave as my patron. He's a foreigner. I've got a lot of. He must have had a lot of money. You know, he would look after me. But I don't think we can blame that motivation when it rises in the beginning. The challenge is that now Dave has to close that. So then their motivation becomes right. Mm. So it's no longer worldly motivation, but kingdom's motivation. And I think it's a long process. I think Jesus took 3 years, and I believe we need more, because we're not Jesus. We need longer years in doing this.
That's a fascinating cultural insight and perspective into this passage. Thank you. Dave, from your perspective, relating to what Simon said, how do you transition people from being attracted to you as the foreigner to being attracted to Jesus?
So, yeah, we have to be very aware of those kind of dynamics going on, and recognize that a lot of times when people first come to us, they'll have certain expectations of us, mm. just as these disciples had certain expectations of Jesus. Mm. You know, they thought he was going to usher in the new kingdom and overthrow the Romans and do all this other kind of stuff. And so they started following him with those kind of expectations in mind. And over time, Jesus disappointed them over and over again, because that wasn't his calling and it wasn't what he was about. Mm. And so in our relationships with people here, as we start to talk about the kingdom, people may start to become disillusioned with us and feel like, well, I'm not really getting what I'd hoped from this person. And some people will walk away, and we've seen that happen many times. Mm-hmm. But other people, God's Spirit speaks to their heart, mm. and they start to recognize, oh, this is what the kingdom's about. And these are the values, and this is what I've been called to. And they're attracted to that, and they will keep following, and slowly their lives are transformed in that process.
Some fantastic stories of relating, and how you're so intentional, thoughtful and prayerful about how you build those relationships. And we know that this is for the broader task we are called to of co-mending, being a mending alongside what God is doing, as you are a witness to God's mending, healing and restoring in Southeast Asia. So Simon, how is he inviting you to be a co-mender in this work?
I think the first stage for me was that I was able to see what's broken, because mm. to man, I have to be able to see what's broken first, and then slowly I began to understand what's the ideal. Because yeah, for me, mending is to align what's broken to what's ideal, and I think sometimes it's a long process. And I've seen this happening in Southeast Asia. So I'm going to use the education institution as the example. There are different spheres of life, and it's all interconnected. At the education institution, for example, at the personal level, I've seen that through the culture that we create, then people are able to come to me as a leader, to Dave as a leader, and then share the personal struggles that they have. Mm-hmm. And I think, of course, Dave, me, Vidya, Tans, we would see it from the kingdom perspective. And when we talk, we would use kingdom values. Many of them, they come from the majority religion, so they don't have the kingdom values authentically embedded in them. But they accept not the solutions, but the sharing, the values that we share to them, and then they embrace it before they embrace Jesus. So I think it is already in the process that God is mending them personally, mm. without they even, you know, begin to believe or follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think on the community level, we in Southeast Asia, we have 1,300 people groups. We have 6 religions. And each people group, each religion, they built, you know, strong walls, strong and high walls. So we are accustomed to find differences, not similarities.
Mm.
In the education institution, all of those people come in and work together. And we work in harmony, again, because of the culture. Because of that culture, people can be who they are over here and just, you know, interacting as they are. And it's not common to find that in this country. Mm. So I think it is happening that God is mending social relationship. And then we talk about how people see work. Most of people, many people see work as a curse, not as a blessing.
Mm.
And I think that's the result of the fall, that, you know, work becomes a curse, not a blessing. So it will generate a different perspective in how they see things. I think at the education institution, we've seen that God is mending that perspective, that work becomes fulfillment. And people come here to work, they found joy. And it's not a thing, it becomes a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most importantly, what is happening at the education institution is the mending of spiritual relationship. And we have that weekly devotion. And I think when people accept the kingdom values, even though they haven't accepted the Father, they know the Father. They know what kind of king that rules this universe. Because for the majority of people, they have their own understanding of who God or Allah is. And mm-hmm. that's just, you know, from the Muslims, not from the Hindus. They have different mindset of who the ruler of this universe. And I think our perspective of who the Father is not natural for them. And with the weekly devotion, it becomes natural.
Mm.
And they are able to see the Father as how he wanted them to see him. I think it's quite important. And I think God is mending this as well. And some of them, they follow the Son. It's not an easy work. And it's a teamwork as well. It's not an individual work. Because it's so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than just one or two people.
Mm. Thanks, Simon.
One beautiful example of that is an initiative that Simon's wife, Widya, developed, where she will have Zoom meetings with parents of our staff members.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of them are just learning about what Zoom all about from their children. But she'll have these Zoom events and invite the parents in and talk to them about what's going on and what we're trying to do at the education institution. And then, you know, she's got a nursing background and especially in aged care. And so then she'll start to talk to them about aged care issues and invite question and answer around that. And just the beautiful way that she builds relationship with parents of our staff members, I think is just fantastic.
Mm.
As far as, yeah, mending relationships, it's a process of time. It's a commitment to love, to do the hard work of love. I'm not very lovable, really. And most of us aren't. We've all got things about us that jar against other people and irritating and things like that. But it's that commitment to do the hard work of love, loving people, praying for them, caring about them, seeking to build them up holistically. And Simon referred to this, that we are trying to develop a positive community where people sense that they are accepted and loved and cared about. One of our key values is caring for one another. And so people come into that environment. And there's been a number of women especially that have said things like this to Kaz or to some of the other female leaders, you know, I can't be honest with anyone about what I'm really feeling inside. I don't feel safe, not with my, even with my own mother, my own spouse. But I feel safe talking to you. This is a safe space for me. And so, yeah, creating this sense of community where people are cared for and loved. And then within that, they start to learn the values of God's kingdom, of loving others, of showing respect, of putting others before yourself, of practicing forgiveness, all of those kind of things. And so they begin to be discipled into the ways of the kingdom. And then in that process, they start to discover, well, who's the one behind all this that makes it possible? And it's Jesus. And so then they'll take those steps into the kingdom. And they start to learn that we're called to honor him and to be a blessing to others. And just see the excitement in their lives as the education institution is in being invited into ever-expanding circles to bless other communities and to make a difference there. We have regularly have high school students from vocational high schools come and get like work experience at the education institution. And through that, we've had a few young women come in, 14, 15, 16, and they've told some of the other staff, I'm pregnant. I'm not married, I don't know what to do. And so begin to realise this is a big issue there. And so going back to the schools they've come from and talk to them about it, and these schools don't offer sex education. And so, you know, these kids are getting all this junk stuff off social media. And our education institution now with our Christian background leaders are being invited into schools to offer sex education.
Wow. Yeah.
Talk about what are the values of God's kingdom in relation to sexual relationships and how to have healthy relationships with members of the opposite gender and lowering the incidence of teenage pregnancies. I mean, that's just incredible that we've been given that opportunity to do that. And that's just one example of many of where we are starting to bring mending in a holistic way in different situations. And that allows us then to continue on in talking about the kingdom and talking to people about the Son who's the King of the kingdom.
Yeah. It has been such a joy to spend this time with you, Simon and Dave. Thank you for your willingness to share of yourself and your stories with us.
Thanks, Suze. It's been great.
I'd like to pray for you and for us, our listeners. Again, another prayer from Graham Hill for our Mending series. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, guide us as we seek to build authentic, meaningful relationships in your name. As your followers, may we live lives that reflect your incarnational love. May we step into our communities with grace. May we foster connections and friendships that transcend barriers and walls. May we share our lives and stories, revealing your transformative work within us. May we invest time into understanding and empathizing with others. And may we live out your words, ways, and works daily. May we embrace our roles as co-menders in a broken and beautiful world. And may we demonstrate humility, kindness, and patience in all our interactions. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. That was a great conversation. Our next episode in our Mending series will be out next week. It will focus on the theme of restoring. It's about the whole gospel for the whole world. If you've got questions from this conversation or want to explore what it means to join God in his mending work, then please get in touch. Also, take a look at the rest of the mending resources on our website. They are there for you and your church to help you engage with God's mission. It's exciting to see how our teams are embodying the gospel around the world. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.